One preacher said this about Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is a song sung in a moment of opening of a soul in the highest close communion with God. And from the first day it was sung, it has filled the air of the whole world with melodious joy. Blessed be the day on which the psalm was born. Psalm 23 has comforted more griefs to rest, has comforted more griefs than all the philosophy of the world. The sweet singer of Israel's harp has never rose to this height so rich, never spoken such precious truths except in this magnificent and comprehensive psalm. It's called the Nightingale Psalm of all. Right? It's like a nightingale flying and singing through every generation. In a world full of sorrow, it has comforted crores of poor people who are in deep poverty. It has sung courage to fearful army. It has given a healing of balm to the heart painfully sick, comfort and hope to crores of prisoners, comfort to widows in pinching griefs and orphans in their loneliness. Dying soldiers have died calmly and, you know, cheerfully hearing this psalm. Psalm has lighted the dark places of hospitals. And it still, its work is not done. It will go on singing to me and to you and your children and my children, to their children, to all generations of time. And it will not fold its wings till at last pilgrim is safe in heaven. And this nightingale will return again to the bosom of God. What a wonderful quote, right? I think amazingly this man talks about this psalm. Any man or woman who learns the depth of this psalm and learns to sing it with the spirit of David, Psalm 23 will make you and me forget all our sorrows and live in the world of rest and joy. Okay, so that's the psalm that we are trying to enter. We are trying to enter into the world of Psalm 23. Reading this psalm, you know, you may wonder, Pastor, what is there in this psalm that, you know, people are talking so much about this, right? This psalm, you know, we know it from our childhood, from our Sunday school. See, one big problem in our Bible reading is because of laziness of our mind, right? When we read something, we always, you know, it's the tendency is to always connect to what we already know. And don't deeply meditate and research on what the verse says. When we read something, we assume and we connect it to what we already know. Instead of exercising our mind and trying to research, trying to understand what the truth says. And then we say, this is what it tells, I know. And then we go and blabber as preachers, right? This is the kind of reading, you know, that will never allow us to see fresh truth that, you know, overflows from God's word. And many a times I'm also tempted to do that, and I always, you know, consciously try to avoid that. I believe that's why Holy Spirit, you know, can open up fresh truths. So instead of reading Psalm 23, let's not fall into that trap, that mistake of, you know, reading the psalm and, you know, I know this, what this means. You know, no. Every week let's try to come with an open mind, trying to find fresh depth in this psalm. Okay, what is there? It's a psalm, you know, it's a known psalm. No, that's what, you know, closes all the doors to the depth of this psalm. May God help us to get rid of that habit. It's a bad habit, we'll have to get rid of it, right? Read some verse, and we always try to connect. I listen to some preachers, you know, some people when we train them, they say, look at something and assume something and keep saying. Okay, don't understand the depth of what it is saying. No, let's avoid that. So, there are two doors through which we enter into Psalm 23. Last week I told you, there is one door we'll have to understand the nature of a sheep. That's what we attempted to do last week. I told you that sheep, the nature of a sheep, right? The sheep is a completely dependent animal, completely 100% dependent on its shepherd. Without its shepherd, it will die. It's a foolish animal, right? That's why, you know, if you have had a sheep brain, you know, it'll all be very soft and, you know, very tasty, unused brain. It's a foolish animal. And it's a wandering animal, right? Wandering, and it's a stubborn animal. So we've seen all that last week. That's the first door we'll have to recognize. And there is a second door. These two doors help us to get into the world of Psalm 23. The second door is the nature of a shepherd. Right? Nature of the shepherd. Look at this. The beginning of the psalm itself is kind of astoundingly shocking. Right? As a Jewish, you know, with a Jewish background, it's a shocking statement. The Lord, the great God, is my shepherd. That self-existent God who made everything, who sustains everything, who owns everything, who needs nothing, before whom all the generations, all the peoples who have ever lived on this earth are counted as nothing, as no value. That infinite God would come down and take the lowest role of a shepherd and care for his people. And the way David puts it is, care for his people individually. To an extent, he doesn't say the Lord is our shepherd, right? He says, Lord is my personal shepherd. You know, there are many metaphors Bible uses for God. You know, he's called as a king and he's called as a ruler, my rock, my fortress. But nothing expresses the intimacy of God's relationship to us than this precious word, shepherd. Unless God had revealed this to David, this would have been a blasphemy to call the great Yahweh as my shepherd. David himself being a shepherd, he uses this phrase. So let's try to open the second door under, you know, trying to understand what all the shepherd does to the sheep. What does the shepherd mean? You know, I can say the shepherd does everything for the sheep, because the sheep can't do anything for itself, and it is the shepherd who keeps the sheep alive. He does everything to keep the sheep alive. Let's look at a few things. First thing, I think the sheep, you know, it's a dependent animal, it's a foolish, it's a wandering, and it's a stubborn animal. And this kind of animal is fit for no useful work. Right? Do you know that? It's not productive work. At least cow, we can use it for several things. Camel, sheep is not used for anything else. It is only useful to be skinned and use that wool for some purposes, and to be cut and cut it into pieces and make biryani or mutton fry or whatever you want. So generally this animal is lined up in the market to be slaughtered, right? So the first role of a shepherd is to purchase the sheep, right? The shepherd, first of all, before owning the sheep, he has to purchase the sheep with a cost. Shepherds are generally poor people, right? Sometimes, you know, they save for many years and then buy a sheep. They have to pay a big cost, buy a sheep. Our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, he said in the New Testament, John 10, I am the good shepherd and I lay down my life for my sheep. Why? Because that's the only way he can purchase you and me. Oh, what price he had to pay. The shepherd, for us to, you know, we were sheep lined up for slaughter in hell. But he came as a shepherd and he bought us, right? We were such sheep who had sold ourselves in the market of sin and depravity. And there was infinite price required to save us, to purchase us. And he had to come from eternity, suffer and die for us, pay for our sins, obey the law for us, and satisfy the justice of God for us, and remove the curse from us. You want to know what is the price he paid to purchase us? Go to the three G's, right? Go to Gethsemane, garden, and see the sweat drops. What is that? That's the price that is paid for you. Go to Gabbatha, see him in the pilot's hall being scorched and his body front and back and every part dripping with blood and flesh. That was a purchase price. Go to Golgotha and hear that sound. My God, why did you forsake me? That was the price. By all this, he paid the full price of your redemption and my redemption. So firstly, before, you know, we say the Lord is my shepherd, we need to have a deep spiritual sense that we are purchased by him with an infinite cost. Do you sense that now? Now, before you say before this phrase, the Lord is my shepherd. And you know, if it has to become very precious to you, if it has to become very personal to you, it starts with recognizing that, right? Do you sense that now, that he has purchased me and I am his? The second thing the shepherd does is, the shepherd not only purchases the sheep, but he owns the sheep. It's a fascinating thing to think about it, right? The shepherd, all the sheep generally look same, right? I can't figure out the difference. Maybe the shepherd will know. But you know, when far away, you know, they may all look same. So it gets mixed with other hundreds of sheep and it's difficult to identify. So what the shepherds do is, they take the sheep and they kind of put a hole with, use a razor blade and make a hole in the sheep's ear. You know? Each shepherd will have a separate marking, okay? They kind of make a hole. And then after that, they give a name to the sheep, and maybe in Hindus they do, right? They pierce the ear of a child and, you know, just call the name of the child 3 times in the ear. So something like that. The shepherd would actually pierce the hair, and the whole process was very painful. But through this process, there was an indelible mark of ownership that is left on the sheep. It can't take away because it's whole, right? You can't take away that mark. There is an, you know, indelible mark, we say. A relationship is established. And all the neighboring farmers would know that this sheep belongs to this shepherd. Right? Even at some distance they can figure that out. And today I was told that they don't, you know, poke a hole, because Pastor Bala is in New Zealand, right? You know, he sees a lot of shepherd, and there are places like other places. Even in India there are a lot of sheep. They have different cultures. And I was told in New Zealand, you know, when people see from far, some of the shepherds, what they do is they color the sheep shoulder with a certain color. Right? You know, one pastor says he was seeing a group of hundreds of sheep, and he was seeing some had different colors. Okay, some sheep had blue color, some had red color shoulders, some had green, some had, you know, different colors, right? And let's say it all indicated that they belong to different shepherds. Okay, let's say the shepherd comes and says, all the red color ones come. And it's an amazing thing, it's an amazing true sight, you know. All the red color sheep will come because they recognize the shepherd's voice. And they will all come, and all other sheep, they will not care, right? They will continue to be grazing. It's only the red color marked sheep will respond to the shepherd. The sheep making that symbolic public distinction, right? That marking gives a public distinction and a security. If the sheep wanders too far, the shepherd can see it. Oh, my red color is going there. And he marks them. He observes them. And isn't this a beautiful picture of Lord? Not only he purchases us, but he effectually calls and converts our heart. He puts a mark on us by the conversion, giving us a new nature. He gives us a name and we get marked, right? We become Christian, which actually means little Christ, a follower of Christ. And there is a relationship, an indelible relationship established between him and us. The personalness that gives us kind of security, knowing I am marked by him and I belong to him. Right? Not only the shepherd purchases, the shepherd owns, but once the relationship is established, amazing, in our relationship with God, very uniquely, the shepherd becomes the sheep's property. Do you know that? Someone asked one preacher, what is the covenant of grace? The answer, this is how he answered. See, the covenant of grace is this. In a way, the covenant of grace, the sinner becomes the property of God, and the God becomes the property of sinner. You know, God becomes a property. Have you thought about it? I will be their God. Right? Do you know my shepherd is my property? That's what this phrase celebrates. Right? It doesn't say I belong to... The Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd. He not only owns me, but by grace, I own him. It's the two-way exchange of ownership. He not only purchases, he not only owns us, but he also provides and preserves the sheep. A good shepherd always with the sheep. 24/7. Day and night. He embeds himself with the life of the sheep. Right? In the fold, he's at the gate, he's at the door, he's with them in the winter, rainy, summer. All they need from morning, he leads them to the best pastures, feeds them, he watches out for them, for their safety, he protects them if there is any danger, ensures that they don't go astray, right? He goes with them everywhere. If they go astray and wander from the fold, he goes out and searches for them and never rests till he finds them. He won't allow any sheep to get entangled in a thicket, right? If it gets entangled, he will ensure that he is the one who has to loosen it. So he's more preventive. Right? He's more into preventive, trying to warn, and you know, he gives them bath every day. He takes them to waters, gives them bath. If they are stained, if they are dirty, he's the one who cleans them. He administers medicine if to the diseased. Day and night he provides food and fold. If a lion or a bear comes and catches a sheep, he goes after that and he delivers them from the lion's jaw and from the teeth of the wolf. And with the shepherd rod that he has, right, he disciplines the sheep, his beloved sheep. He's strong, he's firm. Sometimes he rebukes the sheep when they go near danger. And, you know, probably he uses the rod sometimes just to give them one. And it's the discipline of love, because the sheep doesn't know the danger and they're stubborn unless they get it right from the rod. Some sheep will not listen. So he guides them and he disciplines them, leads them in the right path. And he holds the wounded and he patiently bears with the weak. And, you know, he won't overdrive them. He knows the speed of his sheep. He bears with the gentle, and if it is too little lamb, he carries that in his shoulder. And, you know, he does everything. He's like a father who pities the sheep, and he's like a mother who comforts the sheep. Mother and father, right? That's how a shepherd is to the sheep. He is everything. He is the world for them. Shepherd's life is embedded into the sheep, feeding, guiding, providing, healing, bathing. You know, think about it. Protector, physician, everything. He is the father and mother in a word, right? Everything. The Egyptians, and think about it, right? The Lord is my shepherd. The Egyptians and the highly civilized people thought this is the lowest job. Even today, you know, I don't know, if our children don't study well, we say, I will take you and buy you. In our culture, there's no much of sheep, but we say, I will buy you some 5 cows. Right? I keep threatening my son, I will take you to our village and buy you some 5 cows. You know, you can do it. You can take care of that, graze it, right? That's what we think is the lowest job. I remember in my old factory where I used to work, there were a lot of people from village, they had come. If there was a mistake that is done, and they say, you know, you bring people who are grazing cows and this is what they will do. And they think it's the lowest job. Think about it, right? Shepherd. Again, the wonder of this catches you when you realize the Lord, all caps, how big God is. To know that God is my shepherd. And David is amazed with this, because he is the one who said in Psalm 8, how majestic is your name, O Lord, in all the earth. You have established your glory above the heavens. And the Lord, you know, you being such a glorious God, when I look at your created universe, your heavens and the stars, and what is man that you think of him? It's amazing that God should be concerned with mankind, and it's astounding to think that God is so concerned with me that He becomes my personal shepherd. That big God, can you know the vastness of Godhead, you know, the high order of Godhead, and that God, David, it's an amazing thing for him. David recognized that infinite Yahweh takes an individual personal interest, and he is engaged in every small aspect of my life, and he becomes my shepherd. It's amazing. That's why in Psalm 139 he says, "Oh Lord, you've searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and you know my rising up." Now, does anybody watch you rising up and sitting? Do you know the shepherd watches? You understand, you know me so much. You are acquainted with my life and me so much. You know, you understand my thought afar off. Can you imagine a wife seeing an husband? She's lived with him for a long time and she sees his face and she knows what he's thinking. I have so much of familiarity, and the Lord has such familiarity with you. With you and me, do we recognize that? You comprehend my path and my lying down, and you are acquainted with all my ways so much that there is not a word on my mouth. Behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high and I cannot attain it. David was amazed with this aspect of God taking personal interest in his life, an individual interest in his life. That God, eternal God, for whom heavens are nothing, that he watches me 24/7, knows everything, the wonder of Almighty God with all his attributes. God over all and blessed forever, self-existent, uncreated, eternal God. The one who holds the universe in his hand, the omniscient, strong God, merciful God, unequaled, unequaled in resources, unequaled in personality, unequaled in glory. He is my shepherd. And he takes care of every step of my way, right? He will forgive me, he will wash me, he will purify me, he will bring me from my backsliding ways, he will nurture me. He will lead me. He will care for me for everything. The Lord is my shepherd. This is the wonder of the gospel, right? If David wouldn't know the New Testament, right? Wouldn't know John 10, if he could sing so much, right? What about us? You know, he celebrates this shepherd relationship, the eternal glorified Son of God with all authority in heaven and on earth is my shepherd. He has purchased me with such infinite cost. He owns me and he marks me and he names me and he preserves me and he defends and guides. And all this term, the rich term of shepherd, tells us all that Jesus does to us. Even though at the right hand of God, living and interceding for us, guiding, preserving, leading, keeping until the final day. The Lord is my shepherd. A wonderful thing. I don't know about you. I think there are two things I want to just highlight as a part of application. I think this is, I've been realizing in my own life, it's a very, very comforting and humbling truth. First of all, it's a comforting truth. Are you stressed? I'm stressed. I told you, I think this psalm is a providential thing. You know, my ill health is mainly because of stress, they say. Can you at this time take this truth, the Lord is my shepherd, and keep rolling it in your mouth as a chocolate, right? Keep rolling it for a week or a 2 week and keep thinking it, you know, keep tasting it and see how much sweetness, how much rest and how much peace is there in that truth. Do you think your thinking reflect this truth? Do you know him as your shepherd? Your life is filled with fears, anxieties, troubles, and you struggle with worries, future, all tensions. Oh, where is this going to lead? What is going to happen in the future? Who's going to help me? You know, how will my circumstances change? Oh, may this truth deeply sink into your soul. The Lord is my shepherd. in the midst of all uncertainties, in the midst of all tensions and worry, the Lord is my shepherd. I think when we live in that consciousness, when we live in the light of that truth, we will be able to say the next phrase, I shall not want. Right? Take comfort. Your situation is in the hand of this glorious shepherd. He is the shepherd of love who eternally loved you and me. Never for a minute he forgets you. Right? Always watches over you. And what high cost he paid for you. Remember Isaiah. Why did he pay such a cost? What is the first promise that was given to him? That he shall see his seed. Right? He sees you. He watches over you. Because he paid a high price for you. And Jesus has the shepherd heart. And didn't he say, I am the good shepherd? With the overflowing, with unconditional love towards his chosen flock. His purchased flock. His owned flock. And he's a compassionate shepherd. He is not isolated. Doesn't the scripture say that we are united to him and he's touched with our feelings? There is not a sigh that you and I can have. There is not a worry that you and I can have because we are called his body, right? And who gets the first signal in a body? Isn't it the head? The signal goes and then comes to the thing, right? When there is a pain in a body, in any part, I cut my finger here, right? You know, it was 2 days, I was putting a bandage. It's a small thing. But can you imagine my shepherd knows that? No. And my shepherd knows that. And the quality of the shepherd, right? The skillfulness of the shepherd is actually dependent on reading the state of the sheep. Right? Because the sheep cannot speak. It cannot explain its pain. And you know, the shepherds become so trained and so intimately watch the sheep's face and they are so familiar with the sheep's face. And they will know, you know, by the face that there is something wrong with my sheep. Didn't our Lord say, I know my sheep. Oh, there is so much of depth. I know you. I am touched with your feelings. I know you as nobody knows. Right? I know you then more than you know yourself. He takes special notice. Even the very hairs of our head are all known by him. What a shepherd he is. And he's an ever-present shepherd, right? He's always with me. You know, can you imagine somebody who rocks us to sleep? Yeah, we are all grown up. We don't want anybody to rock, but he doesn't care. He rocks us to sleep. Right? You're tired, go to sleep. And there are days I can't sleep, right? And Saturdays I can't sleep. But I kind of feel, how did I go to sleep? He rocks us to sleep. And when we wake up in the morning, you know, his hand is on our forehead. All-powerful shepherd. Is there anything? He's an all-powerful shepherd, right? Is there anything difficult for him? Almighty shepherd. He has conquered Satan and devil and sin and hell and death for us and redeemed us. He's an all-wise shepherd. He will not allow anything in our life that is outside the wisdom, this eternal wisdom. I told you, he's a life coach, right? The one who disciplines me, who trains me to do great things for his kingdom. He coaches me through the word and providence to do mighty things for his kingdom. And he has a shepherd's hand. He rules and directs and steers us away from sin, away from Satan, away from situations where we'll not be able to bear but fall. And he steers us away from false doctrine, from all that sins. And he provides for us, right? He's watchful, he's careful. It's the lion, the roaring lion that whom he may, you know, seeking that whom he can devour. How do you think you and I escape from him? Isn't without the watchful eye of the shepherd. Will he allow the lion to come near us? Oh, he will give us life, but never allow the lion to swallow us. But there is a lion roaring, right? And he's a good shepherd, right? He watches. As a good shepherd, he knows when we stray, right? He's so diligent to watch over us. If any time we go astray, he brings us back. Now, if you wander and, you know, he will not sleep till he gets you back to the fold. And sometimes, you know, the shepherds send their shepherd dog, right? It will go and maybe he drag the sheep. Sometimes he sends the shepherd dog of affliction, of providential problems. And that kind of brings us limping to his feet again. and He is merciful when we come back, right? He knows good pasture and most willing to provide for His sheep, right? We always want to go and eat the wrong things. And you know, sometimes even end up eating the poison. The good shepherd turns us away, brings us to the right solid food, right? How earnest He was with Peter. Oh, my sheep, they go and feed on all kinds of worldly poisonous things. Oh, Peter, if you love me, don't keep blabbering to them. Don't keep giving low and unhealthy food. Day and night labor. Show your love by feeding my sheep. Give them good solid food. Urging them again and again and again. He gives His concern to His under-shepherd who work and give us solid food, and He feed us spiritually, right? He meets all our needs in His unerring wisdom. He leads us to the pastures that is suitable for our circumstance, for our characters. For our characters. I can go on, you know, I think take some time, like I said, take this as a chocolate and, you know, keep rolling it in your, bask in this truth. The Lord is my shepherd. The one who created everything, owns everything, controls everything is my shepherd. Why are we afraid? Psalm 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should arise against me, in this I will be confident. How can David say such words? Because the Lord is my shepherd. When fears come to you, troubles haunt you, you know what is the answer? This is the mantra. You say, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. You can chase away all your stress from that one phrase. I don't know, it's working for me. It's working for me. And this is the truth. Not only should teach us the great comfort, but it should teach us humility. See, the David, great, mighty king, and in his old age, he recognizes he needs a shepherd. Let me ask you, do you recognize yourself as a sheep? That's where it starts. Sheep is independent, foolish, wandering, and stubborn. Are you like that? Do you recognize? Why don't you want such a shepherd? Have you realized this relationship? Only when you and I realize our sheep state, we will seek for a shepherd. Stripped of all our righteousness, self-righteousness, to find hope only in Him. Only the fool is wise in his eyes and self-confident, right? Men by nature are very proud, like wolves, right? Like goats. Goat is a very proud animal. Right? No man can come to this realization unless Holy Spirit opens his eyes and shows his depraved nature as a sinner and converts and renews his nature, that proud, wolfish and goat nature, and he becomes a helpless sheep. Has that happened to you? Are you a sheep? Do you realize that you need a shepherd so you can live humbly before Him, acknowledging your dependence upon Him willfully, cheerfully? Oh, I am a foolish sheep. I am foolish, I am stubborn. Lord, I need guidance. I need protection. I need your healing. I need your... God is the shepherd only to the humble and the contrite in heart. He gives grace to the humble, right? If you are a sheep, you know, enter this gate. Enter this tent of Psalm 23. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live in fear. Come into this tent and you will regret. Oh, I never knew what it was to mean to live in the bosom of my shepherd and taste the sweetness as a shepherd. I'll tell you, you will enjoy it. You will enjoy it. It's so comforting. Even unbelievers end up saying this, right? You keep singing this psalm, but all cannot say this. We have to examine ourselves. Is the Lord my shepherd? Has the Lord purchased me? Has the Lord put His mark on me? Shown my sins and shown my nature as a foolish, proud, arrogant person and made your nature as a sheep? Unless He redeems you, He cannot be your shepherd. Okay, may God help us to learn this lesson.